from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Coach Calvin Murphy, age 47 at the time of this interview.
I was born on February 13th, 1968. Migration from South Carolina to Pittsburgh, very hard transition. Coming from a southern background to a city background. Now I look back and it's very valuable having both aspects. Very close family. I absolutely love my family. I'm the oldest, two brothers and two sisters. One sister I just met for the first time 3 months ago. I didn't have the best relationship with my father. My brothers told me that I may have another sister. So when she and I met for the first time, it was like we were never apart. I have been communicating ever since. I think the biggest obstacle I overcame would probably be I didn't have a relationship with my father. And for a long time, I fought that thought. I thought I didn't need him, that I would be just fine. It wasn't until I got older that I realized that there are some aspects of a dad that you do need. I had a stepfather who was a very good stepfather, but again, he wasn't your real father. There are some things that you look for in a man that a woman can't give you. Things such as how you carry yourself, how you dress, and you don't always want that from your stepfather. You want that from your blood. So I had to get past that and get stronger and get past the stubborn things that I had heard he had in him that I had in me. And that was a big fight. Biggest thing I've had to overcome would probably be what I do right now in the community. A lot of my friends and the guys I grew up with don't necessarily agree with my stance. I'm very outspoken as it relates to men who don't do what they're supposed to do. I'm very outspoken with young men and women who put poison in our communities, and everybody doesn't agree with that. Personally, my inspiration came from my mother and my grandmother and what they went through to get us here and to keep us here and to keep me where I am now, positive. I grew up in Hawkins Village and grew up in Wilkinsburg. Growing up the way we grew up, we've seen a lot of people dying. We've seen a lot of people not doing anything. We didn't have a lot of people who were giving us realistic goals. Growing up in a project makes you humble. If you take advantage of things you learn from it rather than the negative things and run with those. So the way you grew up in the projects, normally 20, 30, 40 of you at a time, you grow each other up. There are no role models. You look at each other as role models. So none of them were really doing anything. So I didn't have anything to aspire to. I did a whole lot. The things that I did outside, I believe I was saved for a purpose. I believe I was covered for a purpose, kept alive, and not jailed. Growing up in the urban areas, negative areas, seeing what we didn't have as kids in schools and also in the juvenile justice systems, I felt like I needed to give back. I felt like the things that I didn't get in my life, I needed to give back and share those with kids that were coming up. I went to Woodland Hills during the inception. So at that time, the teachers weren't equipped to teach African-American kids. I allowed myself to sit in class and not be taught. And because I was quiet, they passed us through. And looking back, I'm a lot brighter than I acted. I got bullied a lot until I decided to fight back. All the programs that you guys have right now in terms of bullying and just the assault, the attitude to get it out of schools is very important. I wanted to be a Marine Corps lawyer. And when I got out of high school, I did go into Marine Corps. But because of an injury in high school and a bad attitude, I wasn't able to obtain that goal. So that sits with me. I've always had an interest in law, and I'm still considering going back to school. I don't believe it's too late. In 2006, I had just gotten divorced, and a lot of bad things were going on around me. I had an attorney, a very good friend of mine, Milton Rayford, asked me to come and mentor and coach in a school here in the Pittsburgh area, an alternative school that took a lot of troubled kids at that particular time. It opened the door to things I hadn't been to college for or hadn't proper school for. I ended up the dean of students. I ended up a history teacher. I ended up a basketball coach. And that pretty much opened doors in North Carolina for me to do the same thing there for school there. So I took advantage of an opportunity and I tried to perfect it. My current position is a juvenile probation case manager for an aftercare program. I'm also on a board for Voices Against Violence in the South Hills, where we have everything from day camps to community restoration programs for kids to do community service. One big goal is I would like to at some point to have something for young men and women up to about age 25, where if they don't want to be in their neighborhood or associate with the same people, they have somewhere to come live and go to school and also go to work and just get themselves together. Just kind of a reset. And I don't see that available in the city of Pittsburgh right now. There aren't a lot of people equipped to deal with your generation, with kids your age. Kids your age are very, very tough verbally sometimes. And they don't agree with everybody and they don't want to hear everybody. But the one thing I tell you is that you have to give everybody a chance. Learn something from everybody. Even if they're negative, you might learn something from a negative person, which is, I don't want to be like him. But the big thing is asking for help and trying to change, whether it be in your school, your home, or your community, or your church. But you have to ask and you have to keep asking. Don't give up. You got to motivate yourself. Very few people are going to consistently tell you how great you are or how smart you are. You got to find something in yourself that says, I don't always want to be negative, or I don't always want to be at this state I'm at, that I want to get higher and there are some things I want. So you set goals and you motivate yourself to get to those goals. And in doing that, you don't allow outside influences to change that mindset. You're going to hear 1,000 times what you can't do, but you got to tell yourself 1,003 times that you can. And that's just the way it is. At the end of the day, regardless of all the people you want to pat you on your back and say, well done, the biggest well done has to come from yourself.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Gregory Lowe and Christian Beyer. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at crossingfences.org.